Blog Talk Radio.
From Memphis Studios. I'm your girl, Cleopatra Memphis, but you can call me Cleo. And today, it's a Wrap Wednesday, and we are talking about the shifting change in the atmosphere, which is the verdict for the George Floyd case. And Derek Chauvin was announced guilty on all three charges. Now, let's talk about this, but we have a special guest to talk about this, our regular person, our awesome person from CCHR and former sheriff for Los Angeles, is Reverend Frederick Shaw. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I'm happy to be on your show today, and thank you for wanting to discuss this issue with me.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, we are going to just get right on in there, you all. This has been a change. This has been a shift. And I believe it is just the beginning for what we want as in police reform. So, and I'm just going to say, and from what I was reading, if it wasn't for the witnesses, it wouldn't have turned out this way. So we have to have people to step up. And even the teen, what's her name? Her name is Darnella Frazier. She's the one who filmed George Floyd's death. It's getting worse for it. And TMZ even talks about it. So let's get right on in there. As a former sheriff, give us how you feel on the verdict, being that we are with you are the spearhead for CCHR's department. If anyone's under the sound of my voice doesn't know, Reverend Frederick Shaw is the director of CCHR for media. He does the racism and eugenics team for CCHR, which fights against racism in the mental health care system. And we are part of that task force. So he is the spearhead against racial injustice in that realm and just all around for everyone. So him as a former sheriff is a great way to segue into this show and what's going to happen later with mental health care. Now, go ahead, Reverend Frederick. Let us feel, get your feelings and take on what has happened.
Well, first of all, it doesn't matter if you're a law enforcement officer or white or black, you should have been able to look at that tape and notice that or see that a person was being murdered. I mean, when the outsiders are begging for his life and they're filming it and they're when the emergency response person walks up and says, let me check his pulse, and you won't let him do that. And you look into the people like with this evil defiance, 90% of the people in law enforcement do not back that. They don't practice that. And as a former law enforcement officer, I can tell you that 80 to 85% of every officer that I ever met would run into a burning building to save a child or a person of any color. And yes, you might have a rogue element. And I don't say a small part. You have a rogue element in law enforcement, and then you have those who are influenced by that rogue element, and therefore we end up with situations where it's the people versus or the black people versus law enforcement. So the thing is that I am happy with the verdict. You know, The sadness is the mere fact that we had to be happy with the verdict instead of just getting justice. It upsets me because I witnessed on film when it happened the beating of Rodney King, and that meant nothing. And it was just as clear-cut as the George Floyd incident. So from that perspective, it is a good day, and we do see change coming.
Yes, yes. I'll just say this. My hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, just tapped a woman, Mayor Jim Strickland, just tapped a woman from Durham, North Carolina, Sarah Lynn C.J. Davis, to become police chief. So we're going to track that as well and see how that goes. It's a woman that is in charge of the police department, and she's African-American. And if you don't know anything about Memphis, Tennessee, it's predominantly African-American. And I spoke a little bit on Facebook Live about my personal experiences and with people I know personally. Now, we want to talk about the good cops. Reverend Frederick Shaw, he's one of the good guys. Now, how many times are you going to get that? How many avenues are you going to make for them to step up for us now? Because some women were fired and let go and didn't receive their pensions for speaking up. Like the people, we're going to talk about the people who were there and how they should be held accountable. The other police officers that were standing around guarding him, knowing that this was wrong. They knew that. They wouldn't even allow him to receive medical care. So even though we knew what was going on and we could see it plainly, there are people that still need to be held accountable. So even though it's a day for justice, in some ways it feels kind of spirit to me because of that situation. Everybody is still not held. Even though he's the murderer, he had accomplices. So I am pleading for the cops that who are good, the few of you that are, even though there is an emotional contagion of negativity and narcissism and things of that nature, we are pleading for you all to step in and have something to say. Go ahead. You wanted to say something.
Yeah, well, the thing is know this, that in every field there's a culture. And the officer who killed George Floyd was the senior officer on the scene. And what happens is if those officers step up to their senior officer, then he goes back to the station and he starts talking about how they were cowards and bleeding hearts. And then the whole station rallies around that. Not the whole station, but a good part of it rallies around it. And then you pretty much have derailed a guy's career before he's even gotten started. What should have happened on that scene is when the first call came in to the station saying they're killing this man or whatever, a sergeant should have been on that scene immediately to take control of it. Or whenever there's violence and things like that going on, a sergeant should have been there to direct them and say that's enough or whatever. It's kind of hard for a superior officer to get checked by his trainee or younger officers because it derails the career. And that's the thing that the public doesn't see. And so if you notice, they helped get him down, but then the other officers, they kind of stood the perimeter. One officer, people don't talk about it much, actually got into the wagon and tried to do CPR on him, one of the officers on the scene. That was not reported by the media during the time of the trial and stuff, but it did come up in one of the commentaries. That I think his name was Chang or whatever. He actually tried to do CPR and things like that. There was a lot bad about that scene. One of the things that was so bad about it was the fact that the emergency response team that came in to take him, they didn't start CPR until they got him in the wagon. They should have been doing CPR already. When the person walked up and checked his pulse, they should have started immediately doing CPR. So, you know, there's a lot wrong with that that we have not been able to analyze, because sometimes in the media we get the side that, you know, creates the most controversy, and then we tune in all day, and that's what the whole thing is about. But very unfortunate.
Well, this...
Go ahead. No. Go ahead. I was finished.
Yes, it is very, very unfortunate. We have right now a 16-year-old child, Micaiah Bryant, that was shot and killed by a police officer after she called for help. So these things, from what I see, are premeditated. If, you have to think in order to commit a crime, even if you are the law, you have to think about what you're going to do before you do it, because you know it from the beginning. And so there is this pull for, they had a pull for defunding the police, and then they had a pull for police reform, and I'm pushing for police reform. There's no way these men and women should have war gear and they're policing the community. This nothing has changed since the beginning of time with police officers due to where they were ensued as just regular people chasing slaves, basically. This is a time where there needs to be something put in place. We need protection, whether they're Black, Latino, Asian, whatever. Something needs to be put in place. And I've heard people say nothing will happen with even gun rights or anything like that or police reform until white children and white women start getting killed. So people in power are not making the changes. They're not doing it as quickly as they should because they are still in power.
Well, I want to just say on that case with the young girl, I saw the video today, and I saw it in slow motion. And, yes, unfortunately, she was killed. But from what I saw, I don't know what the officer could have did because they had literally less than 3 seconds to assess that whole thing and take action. And the thing is there was a big fight, and the 15-year-old had a knife, and she had actually – depending on the angle that you're looking at, it looked like she might was getting ready to stab somebody. So we have to make sure that
we don't know. We don't want to say. Wait. We don't want to say anything because we do not know. We don't know all the details.
Right.
So let's not do that yet. I don't want to say this and that and this and that because we do not know facts. So when we know the facts, we'll talk about that on another It's a Wrap Wednesday, because from what we are gathering, this is another George Floyd situation based on the few facts that we do. So I don't want to make any assumptions until we get everything in the door. But either way, this young lady called for help and ended up getting killed. And we have that situation happen so many times. I'm going to speak about my personal situation where I called for help. And this was 2018. And 2019, I called the police for help, and they harassed my significant other. And it was one good cop and one bad cop, and one was he had his chest all out, and started checking my purse and all kinds of stuff. And it didn't matter. But I know it was due to the neighborhood that I was in because I didn't get treated that way in other places. So It's these individuals that are taking up shop in the police department. Everybody is not going into it like that. Everybody is not going into the police department with racial issues and insecurities. And everybody is not going into it. Some of these people are from the military, and so I don't want to give all of them a bad rap, but we need for them to make their stance on where they are, because if there's a collective, somebody has to be the drop in the bucket. And whether that means choosing another profession or what, you're going to have to make that moral decision. That has to be your moral code, because your people, your human beings, your fellow human beings are getting killed. So I can't wait to find out what happens. Micaiah Bryant and what's going to occur with this case later, but there is a growing a growing thing with them attacking young women. I just watched a tape not too long ago where a carny, a white guy, attacked a woman and her children. So it's a thing where it's okay to attack black women and children. You know, we just had someone do that in a neighborhood, and the young man lived in the neighborhood. So it's so much going on. It's just something has to give, and it's not so where we don't know what to do. It's just that I believe we have to push towards certain politicians that do not cater to the status quo. How do you feel about that?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with you. I mean, there's nothing in what you just said that can be disputed. I think that women are being attacked right now. I think actually everybody's under attack. We see the big thing on the Asians being attacked. And not only are black people being attacked by other black people, but the police are attacking black people. So it's a whole lot that's going on. And what we must do is look at the fact that we must be humane to other people. We must start treating people the way we would want to be treated. And we have forgotten that, and we segmented violence, violence against women, violence against gays, violence against black. Actually, we just should not be so easy in this country to commit violence.
Right, right. Well, what we're going to do is make a move. Whether you are joining CCHR against the fight against racism in mental health care, if you're joining your local volunteer police department where you are holding police accountable, if you're thinking about running for a political position, we just want you simply to make a move to do something about it. And if you see politicians that are catering to that status quo, get them out. Your vote and voice matters. So thank you so much, Reverend Frederick, for coming to Cleopatra Memphis Studios on Blog Talk Radio for It's a Wrap Wednesday. We're so always happy to have you here and to keep the fight alive. So
thank you so much, and I appreciate it being part of this show, and this is a very important issue. It might need to have a series because it's more than just a talk for the moment. This is something that's been systemic for a long time, and it has to be addressed and talked about.
That's right. That's right. And we need people who have worn the badge or are wearing the badge to speak up. So if you have any stories, people, let us know. You can call in anytime at 563-999-3596, or you can email us at info@CleopatraMemphisStudios.org. That's info@CleopatraMemphisStudios.org. And remember, we're on all forms of social media. That's Twitter at CM Studios and Facebook under Cleopatra Memphis Studios and Instagram under Cleopatra Memphis Studios. And we just got up our CMS network page as well. So keep ready and stay tuned for that. So until next time, people, I want you to simply do what? That is, be great.